Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
People, it's time for Hour 2, the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM, and it starts right now. Coming up in the next hour, we will start with Thursday Night Football. What will the Ravens look like now that Lamar Jackson is back in the fold, and can the Florida boys do some damage in the Sunshine State? Because Lamar Jackson is from Florida, so is Derrick Henry, but some of these props are very high, so if you wanted to look at Derrick Henry, consider the prices first before you buy in. At 7:20, we give you an early look at Game 6 of the World Series. Can the Blue Jays really close out the big, bad Dodgers without even going to a Game 7 in Toronto? And then we will go to even more football at 7:40, where we give out our survivor plays. Who wins outright in the NFL? It feels very simple, but as we've seen, sometimes it can be a little tricky. All right, Jake, so I was just thinking about watching Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and their highlight reels from high school. I don't know if you've had the pleasure of watching these. Like, most notably, Derrick Henry in high school, like, looked like a monster, where he did not belong on the same football field as some of these, like, defensive backs, bless their hearts. But have you ever seen a player in high school where you're like, oh, my gosh, like, this guy is going to be something, and you see him with your eyes, and you're like, I have to follow that guy.
You know what? I think this is going to go back. Do you remember Ronald Curry from
North Carolina?
Okay, so Ronald Curry played football and also basketball, and he was a very good player at Carolina. And I've heard people say over and over and over and over, and I've seen it too, this guy might have the best high school tape of all time. Like, just ridiculous stuff, where it's like, how is he doing this? How is he doing this? So that's the one that always comes to mind. I've seen Derrick Henry's. I mean, holy Lord. That was truly men among boys. Like, this is this is an AI-generated, you know, like, who is... This is not real, right? Like, this guy's not really doing this. So Henry is up there. Ronald Curry is up there. And then I covered a lot of high school football. And so... There was a guy, Chris Robertson, who was, he led the state of Texas in rushing. And I have a personal connection with Chris because of a story I did a long time ago. And actually, his freshman year at Texas, he led the team in touchdowns. Like, he was a goal line specialist. But his tape was awesome because I watched him in person. He was just unstoppable. So there were guys I saw in person, but those two tapes that I saw or reels were just, to this day, stick with me.
It's wild how some of these guys who look so dominant in high school and even in college, where you're like, there's no way that guy is not like a star in the NFL.
Right.
And sometimes it just doesn't happen. It just goes to show just how competitive it is and how many things change from, like, obviously high school, where sometimes you just out physical guys, where even though I'll say for Derrick Henry, he still makes guys look like that. Like, I remember when he played for the Titans, it's like, well, this looks like his film against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, it's basically the same thing. Because, you know, for Derrick Henry, he is just such a big running back. Because normally the prototype is like, you know, 5'8 bowling balls. And Derrick Henry is like 6'2. So it's one of those things where if you genuinely love football, like, that is a rabbit hole on YouTube that's very fun to go down.
I agree. It's always cool to me and fascinating to watch the progression of athletes. And I know I've told this story before, but it's fun that, you know, when Drew Brees was in high school, I covered him a little bit, and then he went to Purdue, and he came back home, and then I went over to Drew Brees' house one time when he was on Christmas break, and I just sat down with him and did this long story, and his stepmom was really nice. She was like, oh my God, you have to play this one song. We do this story on Drew, and we always play it and everything. And so it was just very organic, right? And so, I mean, he was just the nicest guy in the world. I'm like, I sat down with this guy for half an hour, you know, just hanging out, talking, and before he just blew up. Now, that wouldn't happen today, but it was cool having had that moment to watch him go from not recruited by Texas and Texas A&M, which is where he wanted to go, going to Purdue, becoming a star, then going to the NFL, winning a Super Bowl, and being one of the greats and being a Hall of Famer. And so to see where someone started to where they ended up, sometimes that journey can be really rewarding just as a fan.
I was wondering if you were going to mention him because I knew that you covered him in high school.
I did. Yeah.
But it feels like maybe his story, like I'm just guessing here,
yeah,
that like maybe he didn't have the best film, like compared to like Lamar Jackson.
No,
film and you're like, oh my God, what an athlete. And it's wild to me how some of these quarterbacks, it's not about being the best guy in high school, because obviously they have to be good enough to like go to college. But like even like you look at guys like Josh Allen, you're like, how did he go to Wyoming? Like what are we doing here? And I feel like so much of it is like between the ears. And it's how much you are of a student of the game and mentally how much adversity you can take and how quick can you make your reads. So it just feels like the quarterback position. I know I talked about Lamar Jackson, but it feels like those are some guys that maybe they develop later in life.
Absolutely. I mean, Drew Brees, for example, had a good tape, but it didn't blow your mind. Right. So, and this is not a knock at ever. At anyone, but Purdue is generally not your first choice if you are a high-end quarterback.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean? Let's just call a spade a spade. It's a very good school. They've had some history from time to time, but overall, their history is not great. So he took an opportunity where he knew he could go and perhaps thrive, where he was going to be appreciated, and that's exactly what he did. But he really wanted to go locally to Texas or Texas A&M, and neither of those schools offered him a scholarship. So he didn't jump off the page, but clearly he had something, and he went on to prove it. So it wasn't the tape that was amazing, but sometimes there are a lot of factors that go into that as well.
Well, and also, like, Drew Brees, like, part of his, like, legend and part of his legacy is that how long he stayed in the NFL. Like,
right.
He
no,
was somebody
absolutely.
Who was good for a long time.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of the opposite lore for Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. And Jinx, I think this is why it's so frustrating to Ravens fans. When you look at the highlights from like the Ravens offense, you're like, nobody's stopping this. This backfield with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, how are you going to stop this? But right now, the Ravens are in desperate territory where they have started their season off on a terrible foot. But listen, Lamar Jackson is supposedly back. That's what they're telling us, at least. Hopefully, they don't change their minds today. But the Ravens and Dolphins squaring off tonight in Thursday Night Football. Ravens 7.5-point road favorites here, total of 50.5 points. So, Jenks, how much do you trust that Lamar Jackson is healthy and a full go tonight? Because I do think he plays.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's wild to me how I'm not really sure what's going on there. I don't think Lamar Jackson himself would play unless he's, you know, ready to roll. It's just, it does feel like there is a question mark. Like, I don't know how much he's going to run because, you know, usually Lamar Jackson is such a weapon with his feet. But if he is, you know, dealing with a hamstring injury, maybe ease off there. I just feel like there is a big question mark there for me.
I kind of think Lamar's going to ball out tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's going to come out and put on a show tonight is what I think is going to happen. And this is the time to do it because the Dolphins defense is terrible. Like, this is the perfect storm, you know, the perfect stew for Lamar. Oh, gosh, Lamar, come on in. Rubbing the microphone. But think about how this sets up, is what I'm trying to say. So, the Dolphins, I am not fooled by them dominating what the Falcons last week. Falcons had Kirk Cousins at quarterback. Michael Penix was out. Drake London was out. So fine. The Dolphins got a dub. Good on you. But that defense is one of the worst defenses in the National Football League. The Ravens quietly, their defense over the past couple of games have been top 10 defense. I think Lamar's going to come out, use that defense that has been playing better, and really show us what he can do. And you know he's ready to come back, especially after the start that this team has had.
This is the tough part from a betting standpoint, because yeah. I tend to think you're right, and that maybe Lamar Jackson has like been sandbagging, and then all of a sudden he's just going to come out and rush for like 62 yards. Mm-hmm. But like at the same thing, it's like, okay, if he doesn't, and they don't run him into the ground, you should be like, Chelsea, you should have seen this coming. He's been on the injury report. But the thing is that the matchup is so good. Like Dad, the Dolphins been absolutely terrible against the run. They have given up the third most rushing yards to opposing running backs. But then I was like, okay, well, maybe you play Derrick Henry, because if you don't want to, you know, say, hey, not so sure about Lamar Jackson, these props for Derrick Henry are absolutely wild. 89.5. Like, well, these are numbers that we normally get for like prime Derrick Henry and prime Ravens. So I don't know if the books are like, you know, all of the trust has been restored. And maybe it's a little bit of this where sometimes you'll see a number and you're like, that's really high. And then it'll go way over it. So sometimes I can't set the number high enough. I do feel like this is probably a great candidate for a breakout game for Derrick Henry, who's had a bit of a pedestrian season, but also, you know, when Lamar Jackson's not in the fold, your backfield isn't as dangerous. So last week he had 21 carries, 71 yards.
Chelsea?
He had a 28-yard run against the Lions. Did I cut
there
out?
There you are. Yeah, you popped out for a second. I just want to make sure you're okay. Go right ahead. We're locked in.
Okay. Back to Derrick Henry.
Yes.
Okay, so the difference this year is that he hasn't had those long, explosive runs. Maybe this is the time he breaks out, because you could go longest rush over 19.5, because he's only hit this in one game so far. The first game of the season against the Lions had a 28-yard carry. Other than that, it's been a steady diet of 14, 7, 12, and 10. So maybe as opposed to taking, you know, over 89.5, you go 19.5 longest. Rushing.
Yes, I agree.
I don't know what's going on.
Your last, like, I mean, you were nailing it in like the last 5 seconds cut off, and I was like, so you're going over? Is that where we're going?
Just go.
Yeah? Okay.
I don't know what you said. I'm going to refresh.
Yeah.
So you take the ball for a minute, okay? I'm going to refresh.
All right. I'll call the ball here. Okay, so what Chelsea was saying is that she's going with Derrick Henry, and she's looking at the over here. So I will give one prop that I'm looking at tonight, and I saw the stat yesterday, and I'm trying to figure out whether or not I'm going to go for it because it's a little juicy. But how about this? Devon Achane for the Dolphins. I'm a little worried because, look, the Ravens defense has been much better over the past couple games. Early on, it was a real issue for this team, right? Other offenses were just lighting them up across the board, but that hasn't been the case recently. Still, Devon Achane has scored a touchdown in the last 8 games in Miami going back to last season. We obviously know Tyreek Hill is out, so if the Dolphins are going to score, and we've got a pretty high total here, sitting at 50.5, I think they're going to go Devon Achane. If you look around, you can find it minus 155 for an anytime touchdown. I know that Chelsea's not big on anytime touchdowns, but for a guy who always gets the ball, particularly when the Dolphins are at home, I think it's a pretty good bet. Chelsea, you're there.
Okay. Talking about anytime touchdowns, I don't know if you covered this yet. So mm-hmm. I was thinking, okay, Derrick Henry, you know, anytime
sure.
touchdown. It's minus 235. But
whoa.
If you look at Lamar Jackson, he's plus 170.
Okay.
Jenks, if you think Lamar Jackson has been sandbagging and he just shows out in a big way in his home state tonight, plus 170, Lamar Jackson, anytime touchdown against a really bad run defense, I feel like that's a solid play.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah. Derrick Henry's getting in the end zone. Oh, you know what we should do?
Parlay.
Come on. How about Derrick Henry anytime touchdown and Ravens money line? That's not going to reduce the juice enough, I feel like.
Mm.
I'll find a way. I like your way better.
Mm. Or you could do, I wonder what Ravens minus 2.5 is. Because,
oh,
like, sometimes
that's smart. Let's do that.
Even if it's not money line, like you can get the juice down enough to where you combine those two and maybe you can get like minus 120 or something. Which I know somebody's like, you just said parlay and now you're giving me a minus 120 parlay. What is this, prison? Maybe prison. We'll think of something more creative that's plus money. But I do like that. If you just want, what do they call it? A bankroll builder. That's what they sound like gambling Twitter, where it's like something that's juicy, but they're like, it's to build your bankroll for more parlays. Maybe that's what we'll call it.
Let's do that. Brown the meat. Let's do it.
Brown the meat, baby.
Brown the meat. Come on. I'll put that in. I might just go big today just for fun. Because also, I really like the Ravens to cover the 7.5. We haven't even talked about that. We will later on in the show. You can play it down to 7, you can. I think this game is going to be ugly tonight. I think the Ravens are going to put a beating on the Dolphins.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, if the oddsmakers are correct, and, like, the Ravens are still favored to win the AFC
North. That's what I mean.
So, clearly, there is some faith in the Ravens to look a little better. And remember, you know, a lot of those games at the start of the year were against really good teams, and Lamar Jackson has been out. So, who knows what we'll see from Baltimore. All right, coming up next, time to talk the World Series. Game 6, an early look to see if Toronto can close things out against the mighty Dodgers. It's next on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, and good morning if you stayed up late and watched the World Series last night between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. The Blue Jays took another one and taking command of the series, 3-2. So now we have a decisive Game 6 coming up in Toronto, which should be interesting, but the game is not until Friday. And Jenks, I feel like this has been a bit of a tough series to handicap simply because of the turnaround. Because I'm like, you know, for our show, we prepare and we're like, hey, what are the big takeaways from the game last night? And it's like, well, you need to figure out what you're betting on as well. And all before the sun even rises in the central time zone. So we're looking at this game 6. And I will say, like, from the jump, as soon as I heard that Yamamoto was pitching, I was like, uh-oh. This is the one X factor that I feel like I have talked about in every single handicap of these games where I'm like, the Blue Jays can hit anybody. It doesn't matter what pitcher you're throwing out there, except for Yamamoto. So I think this is what makes this game so difficult to decide on. Because on one side, you have a Blue Jays lineup that continues to impress and prove people wrong. Like, the Blue Jays, once again, were, what, plus 170 last night? Yeah. And they continue to defy the odds. And, like, we're at Game 6 of the World Series. Like, at what point do we start giving the Blue Jays some credit?
That's the thing. I don't know. But here's, can you really, I said this about Blake Snell. I'm just a broken record right now. And maybe the Blue Jays are like, say it again. Say it again. Back the Dodgers again. Back the Dodgers again. You won't. But Yamamoto's on the mound. Seriously. And I know Kevin Gausman is a quality starter, but if you're looking at this game, honestly, like last night, maybe I should have given more credit to Treyu Savage. Hindsight is 20/20, but if you're looking at someone who has won, what, the Cy Young Award twice in Blake Snell, who had an ERA of 1.17 at home, taking on a rookie, I'm going to lean Blake Snell. So when I look at this game coming up on Friday, how am I going to fade Yamamoto, who has put together two complete game shutouts in the postseason? I don't know.
This very team. Like, that's thing, is that we knew that Blake Snell kind of struggled the first time around against the Blue Jays. So I was like, okay, like, maybe there's a chance he gives up some runs. But, like, Yamamoto shut down this lineup.
Right.
And so that is the difference maker. But at the same time, you look at this Blue Jays team at plus money yet again, plus 120. And here's the difference for me. It's not necessarily the pitching. It's the fact that we really haven't seen that much from the Dodgers lineup. Like, usually all the things that I'm saying about the Blue Jays lineup are the things that we say about the Dodgers, where you're like, they're getting production from the bottom of the lineup. Like, normally you look at the Dodgers and you're like, oh my gosh, it's the toughest lineup in baseball because you have Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. And then even at the bottom of the lineup, you have guys like Kike Hernandez, who did his job last night, the one run of the game last night with a solo blast. But you're just not getting the run production that we're used to seeing from the Dodgers. And meanwhile, the Blue Jays, who have, you know, all of these quote-unquote no-namers at the bottom of their lineup, those are the guys that are producing in this. So it's wild to me how, like, the script has flipped. And it's the Blue Jays who are giving the run support to their pitchers, because we've seen this in other games where the pitchers have not even had to be that great. Like, last night, of course, DeSavage was amazing, but, like, they also scored six runs. So he could have given up some runs and it would have been fine. So that's the thing. It is hard to fade a lineup that is hitting the way that the Blue Jays are hitting the ball right now.
That's the thing. And it's going to go, I think, underappreciated when you look at last night's game, because DeSavage was so dominant that over the past couple games, the Dodgers just haven't gotten it done. Like, Mookie Betts was shifted down in the lineup. Dave Roberts made that move because he was trying to get something going for Mookie. Like, he's been a ghost, essentially, in this series. The Dodgers have not hit, where, conversely, you have everyone in that Blue Jays lineup contributing on some level. And, of course, Vladdy is playing out of his mind. I was thinking about this morning. It's that right now, you always hear the term complementary football, right? Everyone is doing his job. The Blue Jays are playing complete baseball right now. Their pitching has been outstanding. They're not going to cover off the ball top to bottom, not just the stars, not just Vladdy. You know, look at Schneider popping in last night for, you know, for, oh my God, my mind's going blank here, for George Springer. And all of a sudden,
George Springer.
Yeah, and then he pops in and all of a sudden has a leadoff home run. Like, their backup guys are doing a great job. And then in the field, we saw Shohei Ohtani sort of robbed of a potential double in the sixth inning in the outfield. Like, defensively, on the mound, at the plate, the Blue Jays are doing everything right, and that's why they are making the Dodgers look mortal.
Yeah, which is crazy. Which is a crazy statement to make for a $321 million roster that, again, has back-to-back-to-back future Hall of Famers and the best player on the face of planet Earth in Shohei Ohtani. So it's just one of those things where this is also why we love sports, though, right?
Yeah.
When you see a David and Goliath story and all the numbers would point to one team, but yet it's the other team that it just, you know, continues to put out these great performances where they're getting, you know, 12 punch outs from a rookie who is 22 years old. These improbable stories, but, like, this is where it starts. You know, this is where legends are made, are in October. And here's something else that I feel like is a storyline here, is that the Dodgers have been terrible with runners in scoring position. So when they do get hits, they'll get, like, these solo shots because nobody can get on base, or if somebody's on base, they can't clean them up, you know. This is from one of the Dodgers beat writers. So the Dodgers with running runners in scoring position this season, in the regular season, hit .277. In the postseason, they are hitting just .210. That is a big problem. Because here's the thing. The Blue Jays have made some of these pitchers work for the Dodgers, like Blake Snell, and they'll get some runners on board, and then they will cash them in. And so they have these crooked numbers on the scoreboard where they're scoring six runs, where they're scoring five runs. Whereas the Dodgers, when they get hits, it's just solo home runs.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that, well, timely hitting is a part of it. And I also think, and I know we discussed this yesterday, like, the Blue Jays just, they haven't been here. I mean, they have. Well, you know, the 90s with Joe Carter. But the Dodgers are in this position every year. They won it last year. It's hard to repeat. The last team to repeat was, what, the Yankees from 1998 to 2000 when they won three straight? The pressure is on the Dodgers because they have built the roster to win it all, right? The pressure is on the Dodgers because they are the favorites. The pressure is on the Dodgers because they are the Dodgers, and everyone knows you spent all this money to win another title. So the Blue Jays, you talk about playing with house money. The Blue Jays are playing with house money. They're playing better baseball right now. They don't have the pressure on them, and now they're going back home with two games to win it. Like, we're going to see how the Dodgers respond. We talked about this after Game 3. How will the Blue Jays respond after an 18-inning marathon that you lost where everyone was down? Vladdy Jr. gives you a huge pep talk, and you rise up, and you respond. Now, you've got Yoshi on the mound tomorrow night for the Dodgers. You got to win two straight. You can obviously do it, but the pressure has shifted. It's on you. How is L.A. going to show some resilience, or are they?
It almost feels like in March Madness when you see like a blue blood school go down to like a 16 seed at halftime and you can see like the panic on their faces. You're like, this isn't supposed to be happening to us. You know, we're supposed to be blowing this team out. So it's just the mentality is so different for a team that is supposed to be there and supposed to win a World Series and have been the favorites since day one of the season. So it's just, you're right, the pressure is different for the Dodgers, but I know this is very simplistic, but it feels like it's going to come down to execution. Because, listen, you can build a roster to a T with all the best names in baseball, but we've seen it. It doesn't guarantee wins. Look at the Phillies. They should have gone way further. They're a good team. You know, they had a great pitching rotation, all the things lined up, but when the games came around in the postseason, they did not score and they did not execute. So as good as the Dodgers lineup is, now we're down to a one-game sample size. If the Dodgers do not produce in this game, and listen, baseball is a large sample size sport. So it's like, it could definitely happen. Where even if they're making hard connection, they're flying out at the wall, you know, they're not putting runners on base, where it's just the panic starts to set in. Because you say to yourself, we start the World Series, okay, we have seven games to prove that we are the best the best team here. But now that it's down to one game, that's when I feel like the panic really sets in.
I think you're absolutely right. Oh, and don't you want a game seven? I want a game seven. Yeah. Saturday night? You're like, yes, of course I do. Don't ask me that question. Of course I want a game seven. And I want some Texas Roadhouse while I'm watching game seven. I want just a huge sports Saturday topped off with a game seven in the World Series in Toronto. Like, that's what I want. And I think we might get it. Like, I got a feeling Yamamoto's going to come out and ball out, and then we're going to get a Game 7 in Toronto. That's kind of how I feel. Even though I've kind of, I have to say, I've really enjoyed the Blue Jays because it's been so unexpected. Like, to me, it's so exciting to see a team that they're winning in some ways in the way that they should because, of course, Vladdy's batting .415 in the postseason. But also then you have young guys, you know, like you're Savage out of nowhere. This guy was not playing Major League Baseball 2 months ago. Not playing Major League Baseball. He was in the minors. Now he's striking out 12 in a World Series game. Just imagine his head. But he's just like, yeah, whatever. It's baseball. I'm here. Let's go. And then you have Schneider last night. The Blue Jays are a really fun story, and I think it's really added to what has been a great World Series.
Well, I think it's really good, the contrast, because we have a David and Goliath situation, even though I don't even like calling the Blue Jays David in this situation because they won more regular season games than the Dodgers. Yeah. I repeat, the Blue Jays won more regular season games than the Dodgers, so it's not like they're this little podunk team that hasn't been good the entire season, but I think this is good for baseball as opposed to sometimes in the World Series when we have two teams that kind of fit this bill. Like the year that they had like the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Like I feel like people want a villain. And I'm not saying that the Dodgers aren't likable, but like you get what I'm saying. It's like this is the favorite, this is the villain, and you pit it against a team who, you know, is the underdog, it's the great story. So I think that baseball could not be happier with this matchup. Like I know they got the Dodgers and the Yankees last year, but honestly, I feel like this has been a better World Series.
Oh, I totally think so. And it's just been, it's exactly what, I don't want to say what baseball needed, but you never know what sort of series you're going to get, right? Like, if the Dodgers had swept this series, you'd be like, boring, boring. Nobody wants to see this. You know, so now it's easy to root for the Blue Jays. And even if you're a Dodgers fan, you're like, all right, we're not out of it yet. Our backs are against the wall. You had that 18-inning classic. Shohei had that game where, I mean, just looking at his stat line is still something that boggles the mind. You've got Yasavage. There's so many different storylines, and you've had so many great games, and so much has been unexpected, I think, in this series that it's made it a real, I was going to say toss-up. I mean, now the Blue Jays have the advantage, but we're truly at a point where it sort of is a toss-up, if you will, because the Dodgers still have, you know, they're the favorites. Yes, the Blue Jays are the favorites to win the series. The Dodgers are the favorites to win Game 6. So if this goes 7, this is going to be perfect for baseball.
Ah, absolutely. And, like, what a better ending. Well, honestly, it's not a better ending for Blue Jays fans, but, Jenks, we were looking at this earlier. Like, what's the number on Ohtani to win World Series MVP? Plus 240?
Oh,
that is the best price that you have gotten all World Series long. Lest I remind you, I think it was minus 165 when the World Series starts, which is a bananas number on a World Series MVP ticket. But here's the thing. Like, even if Yamamoto pitches another great game, say it's not a complete game, just a good game, but they win this game. The problem is you're giving Ohtani another game, especially in Game 7, to set him up for, like, some type of heroics where he hits a home run and closes out the World Series. Like, I will say that's probably number one on the wish list for Major League Baseball.
Oh, don't you know? If you're Rob Manfred, like, he's going to be, oh, it's just been a great World Series. We're so glad both teams are competitive. It really speaks to the parity in Major League Baseball. I know everybody likes to talk about not having a salary cap and teams overspending, but here we are. Look at Toronto, blah, blah, blah. But then to his friends, once the camera turns off, he's like, God, I hope we go Game 7. I hope Shohei goes off. He's so good for us. It's exactly what he wants to happen.
Well, every commissioner you would think would hope for a Game 7.
Yes.
Just because, like, that's the best possible scenario, and you want the most competitive World Series. But Rob Manfred is also the commissioner that once called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. So I don't know what Rob Manfred is thinking. I am certainly hoping for a Game 7 because, Jenks, the dog days are coming where we can't bet on baseball. Aww. It has been great during the week not having to look at the NBA.
Yeah.
But it's coming. And I ain't looking forward to it.
Well, it is, but we'll get through it. We'll find a way. We'll find. I've just, I'm like you. I've really enjoyed baseball, and it's been great. But pretty soon, it's Hawks and Raptors, I guess.
So enjoy it, the last couple games of the baseball season, but they should be the best ones. All right, coming up next, time to play Survivor in the NFL. Who wins out, right? This week, that's the big question. It's next on the Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Thursday, October the 30th, which means we are a mere one day away from Halloween. But you know what's really scary? Trying to pick a winner in the NFL sometimes. Because at the start of the year, Jenks, we did see some chaos. But I will say this. Since then, it does feel like the favorites have been feasting. I did see where the public is actually, you know, really cleaning up at the sports books this year.
Nice.
Because the favorites have done so well. So maybe You know, that means that picking a winner in Survivor, like we'll do in a few minutes, would be easier. Or maybe things are changing and that trend will only go for so long and we'll see a bunch of chaos this week. But I wanted to ask you this because at the house, we have been trying to get in the Halloween spirit.
Okay.
Yesterday, we had some music on, a Halloween playlist. And it feels very obvious to me that there is one Halloween song that is the best one of all time, and it's not even close. Thriller, right?
Oh,
is there a song that even comes close to this? Like the fact that it's Michael Jackson, one of the best recording artists of all time, and the fact that it's so catchy, and there's a dance attached to it. We tried to learn like a little bit of the dance last night, which did not go well. There is a reason Mama was not a dancer. But it feels just so iconic, and it makes me a little sad that there's not that many Halloween songs. Like, we have a thousand Christmas songs, but like Halloween, it's like, okay, here's five songs, and then the rest of them are kind of a stretch.
Yeah, everything else is, there's spooky songs, but they're not necessarily for Halloween, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, a song that I love, which is a very 80s song, is Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell.
Yes.
And the irony of that song is, he's uncredited. Guess who sings the chorus in that song? Michael Jackson. You know, which...
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah, he's not credited. And he did it as a favor because Rockwell, I believe, I need to look at this, he was the son of the record label president. And he didn't want his dad to know that it was him. So he changed his name up and actually got... He got a recording contract legitimately, and then as a favor, Michael Jackson came in. So when you hear, I always feel like somebody's what, that's Michael Jackson. And if you listen, you're like, oh my God, it sounds exactly like him. It's Michael Jackson. So it's kind of crazy that two songs that you hear all the time on Halloween are Michael Jackson songs, and one sort of, but one definitely.
That's crazy that you mention that, because my husband was just saying that. He was like, this is Michael Jackson, right? I said, no, it's not. I would know if this is Michael Jackson, and it's not. So, where Chelsea was wrong. I'm going to have some apologizing to do later, but that's really interesting. But Thriller is just so iconic.
Oh, so
and
good.
It just, it makes me wish that music videos were, like, still popular. Because, like, not to dive too far into it, but I feel like this was, like, right at the precipice of when music videos, like, became a real big thing.
For sure.
Like, I wasn't, you know, a teenager back then, but, like, that music video is iconic.
Well, it was directed by, what is the guy's name? He directed American Werewolf in London and, gosh, was it John? It's not John
I'll look
Hughes.
It no, up.
It's I need to look it up. Guy with the beard. There's a whole documentary on the making of Thriller, and it's super interesting because if you look at how it was made and the makeup and everything involved, it was such a production. And something like that had never really been done before where... an actual music video was sort of like a short form movie. And so they put so much work into it. Like, really fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say John Landis. That's
Landis.
I
not
did
Hughes.
A quick Google search. Hopefully,
oh,
that's
nice
right.
Job. I was like, I'm close, but I'm not quite there. It's not John Hughes, John Landis. Yeah, who was very famous and Michael Jackson admired very much. And that's how they ended up working together. I'm being a music nerd
but if
this
you
morning.
Get... But like, it's fun. And like, it gets you in the Halloween spirit because I've had some trouble. So like I'm trying to do Halloween things. If you want to get in the Halloween spirit, watch the Thriller music video.
Yeah.
And then listen to that song on repeat at least five times. It's a good one. All right, time to get to our Survivor plays for this week in the NFL.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
There can be only one.
Who will survive?
All right, that's all you have to do is survive, like the people in a scary movie. When if they ask you, hey, should you get in the running car or choose the banana and go behind that desk? Don't go behind the desk. All right, Jenks, so who are you picking in Survivor this week?
Who am I picking in Survivor? Well, I guess I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, come on. Do you want me to justify this pick? Sure. They're taking on the Panthers. They're at home. That number has gone from 12 to 12 and a half to 13. I believe it's still at 13. The Panthers are terrible on the road. 13 and a half. So every single day, every time I talk, this number goes up just a little bit more. Tomorrow it'll probably be at 14. Wouldn't surprise me, and I'd still probably take it. I don't know who's going to quarterback for Carolina. It doesn't matter. Their offensive line took another hit last week. The Packers are healthier. Might be a bit of a short week for them. It is not going to matter, so especially when you're talking about just winning outright. So let's go Green Bay.
Ah, it's been a tough year for the household because obviously I'm a Titans fan. My husband is a Panthers fan. And like there was a week where like the Panthers didn't look bad and Bryce Young was healthy. I was like, this is the team we got to hitch our wagon to, like, because it ain't the Titans. But now things have taken a downturn for the Panthers as well. So once again, a race to the bottom between both of the teams in our household. All right, next up for me, I am going to go with another big favorite this week. I have a lot riding on the Lions over the Vikings. So Lions 8.5-point favorites. I also have them in my teaser. Have you seen their offense? Have you seen how fast Jahmyr Gibbs is? Do you know who's playing quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings? It's a question. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's Max Brosber. So it just feels like one of those situations where even the defense for the Vikings has not been quite as good as I think we thought it was going to be with a Brian Flores coached unit. And then football is complementary. So if it's tough to get things going on the offense with Max Brosber, you know, it's harder on the defense as well just because you were on the field more. And do you think it's an easy defensive assignment covering the Detroit Lions, one of the most high-powered offenses in the NFL, and they're playing at home? I think not. So I'm going to go with the Lions as my survivor pick this week. Next up, we go to you, David. Who do you like?
I am hitching my wagon to the Indianapolis Colts. For many reasons, I actually may have played a little futures on Jonathan Taylor to win the MVP of the NFL this year. He looks unbelievably great. And then Mike Tomlin coming out this week and going, our DC is capable, instead of going, our DC is trash. He needs to go away. That defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers is not good. So I'm hitching my wagon on probably what you could argue is the hottest team in the NFL, the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I believe it. And listen, as somebody who was sold on Mike Tomlin as an underdog last week, and I said, oh, Mike Tomlin's a home underdog. Have you seen the numbers? The Steelers lost, and they did not cover. So, once again, if you were thinking about using that, maybe just don't. All right, next up, we go to you, Denton. Who do you like this week?
I'm going out west. I'm taking the Los Angeles Rams over the New Orleans Saints. Really, it could stop with the Rams are good. The Saints are bad, but I have more information. Spencer Rattler is being sent to the bench. So, you know, Rattler's down. The Rattler crew not having a good one. But that also means that the senior, old man Tyler Shuck, is going to get his first start in the NFL. And I can't think of a worse team to play right now for your first start in the NFL than the defense of the Los Angeles Rams. With those defensive ends that they got, it could be a bloodbath in Los Angeles, so I like the Rams.
Is there a Rattler crew? Are there stands of Spencer Rattler that I am unaware
the Rattlers.
Of?
The Rattlers!
You're not a part of the Rattlers? You didn't get the Facebook invite?
I did not. So I'm not a part of the Rattlers, but I did see one highlight, I think, from the Saints last week. And it was that highlight of, I think it was Spencer Rattler who was trying to throw the ball, and the guy from the Bucks literally just took it out of his hand and scored a touchdown.
Okay,
it's all you need to know about the Saints.
I thought you were going to say, I saw a Saints highlight last week, and it was about Drew Brees. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Did anybody see that play, though? Like, it was wild. It looked like, you know, the picture of, like, what you would think. It's like taking candy from a baby. And you see this guy who just goes up to Spencer Rattler and just takes the ball. And like, did that just happen? That might be one of the worst plays I've ever seen in the NFL. And we've had some bad ones. So, congratulations, Saints. You are now on SportsCenter's Not Top 10. I don't know if that's still a thing. I hope it is. It's been a minute since I've watched SportsCenter, though, so I don't know. Jenks, do you still watch SportsCenter?
Not really. I don't watch a whole bunch of ESPN, if we're being honest. I'm trying not to sound like a hater here. I watch a little bit from time to time, but it's more of if I'm in the bar, I'll have, because I know everybody there, I'm like, would you mind putting on ESPN, because they'll have like Terminator 2 on or something. And so I just like to, I like to glance up and see the ticker or see scores so I know what's happening, or headlines. I'm like, okay, that's good to know. I can look at that later or something. So I'd just rather have that on instead of a movie, just so I can keep up with things. But as far as actually tuning in and listening to what anyone has to say, no, I really don't do it. I hate to say
hater
that.
Hater alert.
Hater. I'm a hater.
But it's warranted. Like, Jenks, I think it was yesterday where I was turning on ESPN. I was like, I wonder if they're talking about the World Series. Like, we just had a great game. Like,
yeah,
maybe they'll talk about it. No, Stephen A. talking about, like, who has the better case for MVP, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes? And at some point, it just feels like it is the lowest level of sports talk. And I understand they have to appeal to a casual audience. And that's what I do appreciate about betting, is that people who are betting are generally pretty informed. So shout out to the listeners and viewers of the show. We appreciate you.
We actually love you. We care about you.
Mm.
I just don't want to... You know, I hope at some point there is a transition back to authentic voices, I think is super important. And maybe there will be. There's always shifts in sports media. Maybe there won't be. But when I'm hearing someone yelling at me or saying something that I don't feel like they actually believe, then I'm like, I'm already out of this conversation.
Well, and also it's like when you are force feeding like the NBA down our throats when it's like October, I'm like, the World Series is on.
Right.
Like
fair,
maybe
absolutely.
I am just like... Maybe I'm just, like, in my own world of baseball, but it's, like, it's the biggest games of the year. Can you talk about it for 15 seconds? So that's my plea. Just 15 seconds. Just show one highlight from the World Series is all I'm asking. All right, speaking of the World Series, we will be talking about it next, along with Thursday Night Football, everything you should be betting on in the next couple of days. It's next on The Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.